suffering from cancer. And so she challenged me last year. She had made, her Sunday school class had made 100 pillowcases to take to some Jews. And so I thought, well, I can sew. So I made 9 pillowcases. And now I need the pillows to go in them. So we need, it's the oversized travel pillows. And I have, they're all different kinds. My girls had a lot of fun helping me pick out the fabric. But they're really bright and colorful. And I thought we could take them either to the Children's Hospital, the Middle Children's Hospital, or to the Ronald McDonald House. So we just need her, for $2.50 at Walmart, or we can just take up a collection and go in Walmart line with the bulk detail.
I think we're doing this through January.
Through January. And I suggest if people want to just buy a pillow or a couple of pillows if you want to put that money into the offering plate and look that, when we buy from the church, we can get the tax exempt option. Or just have a box in the gym and see, or in Walmart, see if pillow picked up, we can collect them here through January, see how many we can get. I also want to bring up that it's in our newsletter that we collected a lot of money in our love lock, more than usual, and we were very pleased. A portion of that money, the international offering, was going to Myanmar, which the Lord knew ahead of time they would need more funding, and that I thought the timing was excellent. That was part of an area of the world affected by the tsunami, so they will need more of the dollars than ever. But a good portion of our, it was in the newsletter, the amount, how much went that far.
Do we have any other announcements?
Okay.
Okay, it's CPW Wednesday night. There you go.
One thing about the worship bulletin, the printed scripture, Ephesians 1, 10 through 14, is not right. That's just a portion of it. When I gave Joyce the numbers, I said the wrong numbers. But the full scripture is on the back of your sermon outline. So that's the full scripture there. There was something from earlier that, but it slipped my mind. I'm sorry.
Okay. Any other announcements? Susan, you have anything? Anything else? Okay, moving on to our prayer list. Do we have any prayer requests from the congregation? Anyone? I think we should all remember the tsunami victims all over the world. Mike?
I know I've got a slow class, but it's all right to do it 2 Sundays in a row. I woke up today and we're in a new year, and I say Happy New Year to all of them first. And I'm not one to make New Year's resolutions because they don't always work out. But I woke this morning with all of my family on my mind. And so I ask you to please keep all of our family, that's Mary Jo's and mine, in your prayers. Both our immediate family and especially my extended family. That's my brother and sister and my mom. And God knows the reason. I won't go into detail. And I just pray that God will break the rock. God breaks the rock. So there's my prayer request. And then I will give you a prayer praise. And I did this in Sunday school, and I can't keep it to myself and do it privately, and I do not do this for a show. Larry Gunn, I love you. And I want you to know that I'm thankful to have you in my life and in my family. I have nothing against televangelists, but Larry, you look at me when I'm talking to you.
you're our minister.
Amen.
That you love God, and I know you love God, and He loves you. And I know that you love me and my family, and we love you. And what's important to me is that you're God's man, and that you're real, that I can touch you, that you listen to me. I can call you on the phone. I can talk to you in person, that no matter what my needs are, you will try to answer those needs, and you will try to deal with me and whatever joy or problem that I have. And I just want to personally express to all of you how much I love Him, and I hope you love Him too, and I hope you'll tell Him so. And I think, for me, that's the way I want to start out my life in 2005. And I just thought to Him, I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delights. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. Thank you, God's man.
Love you too.
We have any other? If you'd like to put a name on the prayer list, you can write it on the index cards and a pew in front of you and drop it in the offering plate. At this time, in preparation for worship, we'll observe a moment of silent prayer. Amen.
We
this morning is responsive. It's printed in your bulletin. Please join with me. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein.
For they do not steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever.
Praise the Lord.
Let's all stand, please, turning our hymnals to hymn 76. You know, in church camp, there's a little song we sing sometimes in the morning. And it just says simply, "Praise ye the Lord." And then the other side says, "Hallelujah." Well, it gets so loud at the camp that the kids can be heard in the next county. So let's say that "Praise the Lord" one more time, okay? Praise the Lord! Thank you. Hymn 76.
Another town, even in another state, I visited with a man that is, he ran a shoe store, and he said, you know, if I had $1 million, I'd give a lot of it to the church. My response was, probably didn't help my relationship, but if you can be found faithful in little, you might be trusted with much. Now, this is a beautiful song, and I love it, and I chose it, but it's kind of if we had 1,000 tongues. Well, we don't, but we have one. So let's dedicate that tongue to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord God, we come this morning with just one tongue. And you have said, Lord, if we are faithful in little, you will give us much. Lord, one tongue is all that we can handle, and sometimes we don't handle it very well. But to use it to bring glory to you, Lord, we pray that you'll find us faithful in giving a little glory and enable us to give much, much glory by our words, but also by our deeds. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of coming to sing praises to you. Lord, we thank you that you have come to break the power of sin, that you have canceled the sin against us, that you have wiped our slate clean through our faith in your Son Jesus and his death on the cross. As we come today, O Lord, enable us to give praise, to give adoration, to bring honor and glory. And we offer this our prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Turn your hymnal, if you will, please, to hymn 166, We Three Kings.
Sorrowing, dying, grieving, dying, still in the soul, hold to
We express our faith in God through the Apostles' Creed. It's in the back of your hymnal, 716. Please join with me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We have a special treat this morning, and some of us have already been blessed, but Gail Winnett's friend from even long ago and from her hometown is with us today, David Crispin, and he's going to sing this beautiful song, and he may have a testimony to give. I announced that the first earlier service, and then he didn't know he was supposed to give one, but we invite him to speak. David, welcome. Bless you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I parked the car out there. It's the only one facing the wrong way. She didn't do it. I did say I'd give you a brief testimony, and the testimony on this song is my favorite song, His Eye Is on the Sparrow. I've sung this a lot of times. I still have to look at the words, you'll notice. But a year ago was not a high point in my life, and I don't think I could have sung this a year ago. Today I am very happy, and I am glad to report I think I can sing it again. And if Melanie's ready over there, we'll sing it. Do you have all the pages?
I got the pages.
You got all the pages, okay. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and
I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender words I hear, and resting on His goodness, I lose my doubt and fear. Though by the path He leadeth, but one step I may see, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to Him. From care He sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I know He watches me.
By the way, I did forgot to extend in the first service. I extended greetings from a small congregational church up in Braintree, which is just south of Boston, Union Congregational Church. I'm sure they miss me this morning. There's two men in my choir, and I'm one of them. So,
it's children's time now with Miss Andrea. If the children would come down, and also the children will remain in the sanctuary this morning. No children's church. Thank you.
And with the noises they make, they're not the same. When they holler to me, they don't sound the same. But you know what? They have taught me a lot because they have become really good adults. And it was just what Trapper needed. Trapper needed a friend. And guess what? It wasn't a friend just like him. He doesn't look like him, doesn't act like him. But you know what? It was a goat we had discovered, the goat and the horse like. They both love attention. They both like for us to talk to them. Mr. Larry said yesterday he did believe if Spot could talk, he would. Every time we go outside, he hollers to us. And the horse does like us too. We discovered they both like to be scratched under the chin. And you better scratch them both at the same time. Because if you don't, the other one comes over. So both of them need to be scratched. And so they have found companionship in the most unlikely place between a horse and a goat. But you know what? That's what Jesus charged us with the responsibility of doing, is to reaching out to those that need us. Right? Right? Well, Trapper needed a friend, and Spot became his friend. And so now, they have each other. Well, you're going to run across people that are hurting, sad, and feel all alone and need a friend. And you know what you can do? You can do exactly what Spot did, can't you? You can be that friend. So this year in school or wherever you are, in the playground or wherever, you can look for those.
I have a friend named Zachary.
You do, see? You have a friend named Zachary. So that's good. So okay, you have a friend too, don't you? Just like Spot and Trapper. So things have worked out really good for them. And guess what? Trapper has healed from his broken leg. And that's another thing that's amazing. But that doesn't happen real often. And he can run and walk and trot and do everything he can do before. So, there you go.
And I got a girl and she has been at my new car for a show.
Does everybody have at least one friend? Yeah? Oh, yes, you do. And a lot of them have
a lot of friends.
Got a lot of friends. You know what? You have a, that's right, and you can be a friend of a lot of people. That's great, y'all. That's great.
Okay.
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 Okay. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Offertory sentence today comes from Psalms 50, verse 14. Sacrifice, thank offerings to God, fulfill your vows to the Most High. Will the ushers please come forward?
Will you bow your heads as we pray? Oh, Heavenly Father, I know that you're here this morning. I've seen you in the smiling faces of all this congregation this morning. I've heard you in the songs of the congregation, and especially in the song of this visitor who's come to sing for us. And it's good. It's joyful. It's uplifting. And I felt you in the handshake of our minister. I know you're here. And so, it's all the more important just to say thank you, Lord, for all that you do, for all that you are, for all that you bring to us and you give to us. And especially today, Father, this new, brand new Sunday and a brand new year. Father, help us to put away all those things from the year 2004 and to look forward with zeal to 2005. Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers, cleansing us of our sins, healing our wounds, and being our friend and our Savior. Father, we ask that you take these tithes, these offerings, these gifts that we bring. Father, we ask right now that you bless them so that your kingdom and your Son's name might be glorified. For it is in Jesus Christ's name we pray this thing. Amen.
Scripture lesson today is from Ephesians chapter 1 verses 3 through 14. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. The word of God to the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
As numerous directions one might go with this scripture lesson, we're not going to talk about predestination as such this morning. So it's not a lesson on predestination, though that lesson is there. I want to talk about the blessings of God, the spiritual blessings of God. But to get to the spiritual blessings, I ask that we think about some material blessings that are ours, or that have been ours. We can easily see our physical blessings. Most of us have so many material things that we do not know what to do with them all. Some of us have to go rent space to store our blessings because our basement is full and our attic is full. Is that right? And our garage is full. Garages are not made to park cars in. They're made to store stuff in. Is that right? So we know all about spiritual blessings. Physical blessings, they could be considered in some instances curses even. Did anybody go to the convenience center, which is a nice way to say the area dump, last Sunday? Did you go last Sunday? Understood that the line was so long you had to wait and wait and wait. I waited till Monday to go, and it was not always busy then, busy enough. Think about your physical blessings. You can start with things. Things. And then you can continue with friends. Those are physical blessings, are they not? Family? Job. It is not uncommon for people to take some physical things and just throw them away because they've got too many. Hopefully we don't do that to family and friends. There's a Thanksgiving song that reminds us to count our blessings. I think it's Melanie's favorite song, because every Christmas, every Thanksgiving, she says something about that song, Count Your Many Blessings. Is it difficult to play? Difficult to play. All kind of funny things in it that I don't understand. It just sounds good, and it gives us the time to just stop and list them one by one. That's what we say, right? And then, Mike, thank you for your friendship this morning, though. That's one blessing, and your expression this morning. You as a congregation, thank you. Y'all have tolerated me a long time. Thank you. Physical blessings. But let's think this morning about spiritual blessings, because that's what the lesson is about. I brought up all those others to get you to thinking on the blessings that you have. In today's lesson, this great man, Apostle Paul, and quite frankly, I can read this passage, it Lewis just read for us, and I get to the end of it and I say, huh? Did some of you think that? So I had to do much study, much research, more than I like to do. But there's something great about blessings in this passage. Spiritual blessings. We have them, or if we don't have them, they are available to us. And it's all through Jesus Christ. Some of them are called of unseen blessings, and they're also eternal. See, these material things, if we don't carry them to the convenience center, they will tarnish, they will deteriorate. It happened even under the sink in our house this week. That brass or copper, whichever it was, it just deteriorated. But our money is like that if we store it away. If it doesn't naturally rust or corrupt or go bad or oxidize in value, it will waste away. But the blessings of God are eternal. They're not limited to this life. Therefore, this life and the next life. Paul begins this passage, or where we began, we see him beginning by thanking God for the blessings that Christians have received. We can be with Paul and join him in our thanksgiving to God for the blessings that we have received as Christians. More correctly, he is praising God for the blessings that he has received. The verse starts, "Praise be to God," or "the God." "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Then he goes on, "He," referring to God, "God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Now, does he list them all here? I think there are more blessings available to us than listed here. But he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, and he names a few right here. Because there is the gifts of the Spirit. That's spiritual blessings. And he certainly doesn't name all of them. And we talked about some of them a few weeks ago. What are the blessings that we're talking about that are eternal? What are the blessings that the Christian has?
Eternal life.
What's one of them? You don't have to name another one.
Love which covers all.
Love which covers all. On your outline, you have some that Paul listed. And those are included in it. Not specifically named as Mike named them, but they're included there. The first blessing that he mentions is that we are chosen by God in Christ. Or we might say through Christ. Through Jesus Christ or in Jesus Christ, God chose us. To be chosen. That's a blessing. Unless it's to go to a war area, that might not be considered a blessing right now. Paul writes, God through Jesus picked us, and that's a paraphrase, God through Jesus picked us to be His very own. And not only did He pick us to be His own and to come and be a part of Him, as David beautifully expressed in song, He watches over us each day. He watches over us all of the time, like a loving parent watches over their child. There's some Bible examples of people who have been chosen of God that stand out in my mind. One is Noah. And you know the story of Noah back in Genesis? How God chose Noah to build an ark. The creation had become so sinful, God was going to wipe it out and start over. But He didn't want to wipe it totally out, so He chose Noah and his family. That was quite an honor, was it not? More prominent in my mind, in my thinking, is the choice of Abraham. God chose Abraham. Why did He choose Abraham rather than someone else? Was Abraham a better person? The Bible says nothing about that. Abraham had faith. He was a man of faith. And God reached down to that land that Abraham was in, the Ur of the Chaldees, and He chose him and called him to come from this land that he was in to a land that God would show him. And maybe He chose Abraham because Abraham was willing to follow God, to trust God, a man of faith. Genesis chapter 12, it's a beautiful story how God chose Abraham. And said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And you're going to be a blessing to the whole world, to all of the living creation. Your descendants will be a blessing to them. And it's going to start with you, Abraham. Quite a choice, quite a responsibility, quite an opportunity. Or another person who did some choosing is Jesus. We know about Him choosing 12 disciples. And these disciples became known as apostles. 12. And men were out fishing one day, and here Jesus came down to the fishing docks or the seaside, and there they were playing with their nets and mending their nets. And Jesus said, fellas, I've got a better job for you. He recruited them, if you will. He says, get out of this fishing business, or at least fishing for fish, and come with me. And I want you to fish for men. They were not specially trained. He had the responsibility of training them, but He reached out and said to Peter and James and John, come with me. Then He walked by a tax collector's table. The tax collector's name was Matthew, and he was sitting there with a job he must have hated because people didn't like him because he was an agent of the Roman government collecting taxes for them. And tax collectors were known all over for their crookedness. Don't know this much about Matthew, but others we know about. Zacchaeus especially. And Jesus said to Matthew, leave that easy job that you probably don't like and come with me. And Matthew left. Or Zacchaeus. Jesus came to town. Zacchaeus wanted to see Him. He got up in a tree because he was a small man. And he wanted to make sure he saw him. And Jesus looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, you can come and follow me too. Chosen by Jesus. We know something about choosing or being chosen, or maybe from not being chosen, from our own experience. We choose a president. And we've just gone through that process recently. We choose a governor. And we choose a friend. Our friends, and we are chosen as someone's friend. All of these children have friends. They have chosen somebody to be their friend, and they are chosen to be somebody's friend. And believe it or not, Carol chose me to be her husband. Y'all may get tired of hearing about this, but this was the high point of my life, friend. Carol met me one day, and her testimony. Talked to her after church. She says, I'm going to marry that guy. I choose him. Now, why? We don't know. But she saw something that nobody else could. And I can testify that that was a happy experience. And it still is. Never not wanted to go home. After I got home, I wish I had got there sometime. But I've never not wanted to go. But we're not talking about choosing me and our relationship. We're talking about God. And God, the God of heaven, the God of creation, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, choosing us, choosing you, and choosing me. And my response to that is, I don't have a better word than wow. I know I've been using that through the years a good bit, but that's the best word I know to say, thank you, Lord. Wow, God chose me to be a part of His kingdom. Why did He choose us? Why did He choose me? Why did He choose you? He chose us that we should be holy and without blame before Him. That we should be His people, set apart, pure servants of His. Holy means to be set apart for a special purpose. And I interpreted it, and I still think He did. In 1964, He reached down and touched me and said, I choose you for this special purpose. And I've been trying to follow that all of my life. Without blame, without anything against us that anybody can blame us for. Without any condemnation. That all that was in our life that was wrong and people could blame us for and point a finger at, Jesus took all that away through His blood that He shed on Calvary. All the sin in our life, that's one way to say it, Jesus took away. We're clean before Him. His precious blood washes us clean, the spiritual sense, and then He did it in love. He chose us in love, and He chose us to walk before Him in the sphere of love. He chose us. He chose us to be adopted into His family as His own sons and daughters. Sons of God and daughters of God. The people of God. And that's a blessing, I think, to be chosen of God. And the other thing, He chose us to be highly favored. And He chose us at His good pleasure, or it pleased God to choose us. It wasn't that He couldn't find anybody else. It was His pleasure to choose us. Not because of what we were, but because of what He could make of us. Not because of how we were, but how we could become and what we could become. Without Him, or the way we were not a prized possession. We were not a rich choice. But He saw in us what we could become. Pure. Holy. Walking in love. And to me, that's a blessing. And I think to you it's a blessing too. In Christ, we receive this blessing. The blessing of being chosen of God. To be on God's team, if you will. But there are many other blessings that He offers also. The second blessing, in Christ, verse 7 of your lesson, in Christ we have redemption. He chooses us and He redeems us. Redeems us from what? Redeems us from sin. Redeems us from Satan. Redeems us that we won't be the property of anyone else, but that we'll be His own property. And He did it through His blood. We put it like this. By His death on the cross, Jesus paid the price to deliver us from the bondage
of sin. In verse 7b and verse 8, we see a third blessing. The first one being He chose us, the second one being redemption, the third one being connected with redemption, but it's called forgiveness. You read that passage. You read verse, in Him we have redemption, verse 7, through His blood, comma, the forgiveness of sins. There's not much difference in redemption and forgiveness, but there's some. You're redeemed from bondage. You're forgiven of sin. Your sin is washed away. You're cleansed of all that would be a spot on your life. Forgiveness of sin in Christ. God has blessed us by forgiving us of all of our sin, releasing us from the bondage of it through the shedding of Jesus' blood. The fourth blessing, verse 9 and 10, God reveals His will to us. On the 12th, on Wednesday night the 12th, Tommy Jobe is going to come and talk to us about a program to help us understand more of God's will. Throughout my ministry, I've had a lot of people to say, I just don't know what it is that God wants me to do. If I could ever find out, I would try to do it. Well, this church is on the verge, or we hope we get into, a process of understanding, seeking and understanding God's will for us as individuals and for us as a congregation. We'll be meeting on Thursday night and Wednesday night, the 12th of January. And Brother Tommy Jobe will come and introduce us to this one particular program that we can use to help us understand God's will. But Paul says that God has revealed His will to us. He shows us His plan. A plan to gather into one all things of the earth in Christ. I think He was speaking in particular about Jews and Gentiles, because there was a division between the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians, even in Ephesus. But that's not the only thing that He wants us to be one in. That it's His will that Jews and Gentiles be one in Christ, be equal in Christ. He also continues to enable us to decipher His will, or to discern His will is one word that's used about that, to understand His will. Then in verse 11 and 12, we find a fifth blessing. God gives us an inheritance. He makes us a people that He could glory in. He chose us at His good pleasure. He was pleased to choose us. But now He wants to make us, or give us, an inheritance. Make us a people that He could glory in, or a people who would bring Him glory. So He is continually working in us to enable us to become what we can be. Also, the inheritance, part of that inheritance, is that promise of heaven. And then a sixth blessing is the Holy Spirit. Paul writes to the Ephesians, but also to us, having believed, you were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. You can find Jesus promising that Holy Spirit back in the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and chapter 16. And Paul says that the Holy Spirit is a deposit. We might call it earnest money that's been put up. The Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance that God has for us. What can we do but praise God
for His blessings. He chose us. He redeemed us. He forgives us. He has an inheritance for us. And He has sealed us in our relationship with Him. What can we do but offer praise to Him? There are elements on the table before you. Bread and fruit of the vine. Communion elements, we call them. Elements used in the Lord's Supper. I trust that they will speak to us of God blessing us with spiritual blessings. The bread, broken body, paying for our sin, taking our place, the cup, the fruit of the vine, shed blood, shed for the forgiveness of sin. The elders will come forward, the active elders. Jerry Bowers, will you come and assist? Hear these words concerning this supper. Jesus was with the disciples eating the Passover. Passover was a high point in the life of Jewish community. The meal was to remember the freeing of the Israelites from Egyptian bondage. They went through this each year. Jesus met with His disciples to remember. And as they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is My body." And when He had taken a cup and given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." This is the Lord's table. He invites all who believe in Him as their Savior to eat and drink from His table. Eat the bread, remembering His broken body, and drink the drink, remembering His shed blood. All shed for our salvation, our redemption, our forgiveness. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, this bread, we thank You for it. And through it, let us know Your sacrifice, Your redemption, Your forgiveness for us. Lord, for the cup, fruit of the vine, representing the shed blood of Jesus. As we drink, make it be for us the blood that forgives us. People, eat of the bread, remembering God's love for you, His blessings upon you. Likewise, drink of the cup, remembering His love for you, the redemption, the forgiveness that He offers. Thank you.
as God's people, having received His blessings, there's no greater place that we could be than to live under His wings. 356 is the number, and stand together if you will and sing the first verse.
Thank you. piece of toast.